the genius behind a piece of art is the ability to tell stories in ways we never dreamt possible. You see, art does not become masterful when you see a splash on a canvas or a twisted piece of clay in a museum. Rather, the real strength behind art is when each and every one of us feels compelled to ask ourselves the question, just what is it? What is it that that artist is trying to tell us? A timeless connection begins when we finally begin to realize that deeper message, when we understand the purpose behind the artist's strokes, and we feel a hidden conviction, buried and untapped, waiting to speak. And finally, it's that story that jumps off the canvas. Already 4 years ago, in 2005, artists Christo and Jean-Claude brought their exhibit, The Gates, to New York City's Central Park. I remember hearing about this exhibit for months and months, that in the middle of winter, these artists would construct over 7,500 vinyl orange gates, and that they would spread them throughout 23 miles of New York City's Central Park. Try to imagine for just a moment, bright, vibrant, saffron-colored gates juxtaposed against the starkness of the cold, sterile, blanketing white snow. It's rare for me to have art as my conversation piece, and yet for weeks upon weeks, all New Yorkers could talk about is when those gates would arrive. And so, my excitement grew. And on February 12, 2005, I, along with thousands upon thousands of New Yorkers, made my way down to the West 80s. And I saw those infamous gates. And I saw them. Mile upon mile of bright, orange-colored goalposts. And like everyone else there, I tried to relate that, yes, this was a piece of art. This should be beautiful. This should be different. But to be honest, I did not understand it all, because I couldn't see what I know as art. I wasn't able to find the beauty in those gates, and instead, I saw images of metal, of waste, of something interfering with the serenity of my Central Park. And for me, someone who craves sunshine on a dark, gloomy day, for someone who is always trying to see the silver lining within the bitter moments, well, seeing this piece of art, it was a huge disappointment. But just a few days later, I stumbled across a news article which explained the purpose for the gates in New York City. Well, I assumed that this piece of art was merely for aesthetic reasons. Christo and Jean-Claude wrote about their greater intention. You see, they never saw the gates as the presented piece of art. Rather, what these artists really loved, what they truly cherished, what they held dear, was the fact that thousands upon thousands of people were coming day after day to see and hear their story. Because as all of us know, New York City can often be a place where people get up in the morning, they ride the subway, they go to work, they go to a restaurant and come home, sometimes without ever lifting their eyes and saying hello to someone else. This is a city where people often forget to recognize the personhood of another. So what these artists were trying to do, they were trying to use art to bring people into one area during one season, to have people lift their eyes, look at another person, and say hello. And even if the New Yorkers, while the gates were at their sides, if the New Yorkers said to each other, "I don't really understand this piece of art," or "I've never seen a color like that before," well, the construction of those gates would be worth it. Because the greater story behind this piece of art was to bring different cultures, different personalities, tastes, and faces of New York City together for one moment, and to say that real art, real pieces of beauty, do much more than just please the eye. Real art brings you into an entirely different dimension, and it tells you a story. That day, I looked well beyond the piece of art that was in front of me, and I pushed myself to enter the artist's world, to learn a new story. And instead of just opening my eyes a bit wider, I attempted to stretch my heart and soul as well. As we know, it's very rare to meet an artist in the Torah. But this week we are introduced to Bezalel, a man who was given the most worthy of tasks to design and create a portable building, a tabernacle in which God would dwell. As I mentioned before, the Israelites were wandering throughout the desert, lonely and scared. And God knew that if a tangible synagogue was created to accompany the people on their way to the Holy Land, then those Israelites would feel comforted. They would know that God was with them, yes, physically, but also spiritually. Bezalel was commissioned to create this sacred space where Israelites could exchange and interact with God. But there is so much more to this story, because what really transformed pieces of wood and metal into holy, timeless pieces of art was the fact that Bezalel, just like those gates in New York City, well, he brought those children of Israel together, and he created a community, a family, a nation of people. You see, the tabernacle would ultimately lie right in the middle of the Israelite camp. And there weren't other buildings surrounding the tabernacle. Rather, children. It was our children who slept around the tabernacle. Try to picture it. Circles upon circles of children. And the reason why they slept around the tabernacle was so they could feel and sense the presence of God. I can only imagine what that sleepover looked like. Because not only were these children trying to feel God's presence, but what they were trying to do is learn about one another. These children learned that godliness comes from seeing the face of the other. It comes from seeing the face of a friend. And these children would tell children of all generations that, yes, they were linked to that house, that first house of God. But more than that, they would tell their children that it was in the wilderness, in a time of bitterness, in a time of cold. It was there where they first felt the presence of God. And more than that, it was there where they first became a family. You see, when we choose to look deeper, when we choose and try to understand the meaning behind an object, behind a painting, behind a building, we can see that constructions of beauty hold the potential of transmitting the holiest of messages. Bezalel held the greatest gift in his hands, and that was the ability to bring people closer to God. Through the use of his mind, the expression of his hand, the transmission of his message, and the wisdom of his heart. Bezalel brought art to the Jewish people, and he showed each and every one of us that there are different ways to tell a story. The Talmud tells us why Bezalel was chosen to design the house of God. God tells Moses, "I have filled him, Bezalel, with much wisdom, with much knowledge." You see, what God filled with Bezalel, he didn't fill him with facts and numbers and statistics. Rather, he filled him with the secrets of the universe. He taught him the architectural design behind the heavens and the earth. But he taught Bezalel that through letters and words. And so what Bezalel did, he took those words, he took those letters, and he interwove art and story. And he taught our people that art isn't merely something to look at or enjoy, but rather, we learn from his story that in an artist's world, every piece of art holds the entrance to a world untouched. In Bezalel's case, his tabernacle was the entrance to a world where each one of us is granted the opportunity to touch the holy, where we learned how to feel and expect God's presence. Bezalel's name can be broken down into three words, Bezalel, in the shadow of God. To live in the shadow of God means to live each day of our lives imbued with a sense of meaning and purpose. It means waking up in the morning and saying, "My life is a gift, and I have so many pieces of art to create." Each one of us holds a piece of Bezalel within. Each one of us sits in the shadow of God. And therefore, we must ask ourselves, how will I reach into my soul and find that sacred spark of beauty that will allow others to feel the presence of God? How will I discover my piece of art, that sacred story that I meant to share with others? Julia Cameron, in The Artist's Way, explains that when one of us is not able to produce a piece of art right away, when one of us feels stifled, and we know we've all been there, when you draw a picture and you say, "It's not perfect, I want to throw it away," instead of trying again, instead of practicing, instead of cultivating a possible talent, we give up. We stop trying, and we throw away the development of a godly gift. But this morning, our tradition is clear. Bezalel is plucked out of the crowd of Israelites for the building of the tabernacle, not only because he was a master of artistry and skill. Rather, he was chosen because God knows a storyteller when he sees one. I see hundreds of Bezalels in front of me this morning, and I know that there are millions of Bezalels in this world. And what that means is that we have holy messages to share. What I am realizing is that when a story is told well, it does not matter if that story is told through words, through the construction of a building, or through your own personal medium. Rather, when a story is truly expressed, when you reach into your soul and you find the right way to bring people closer to God, well, it is then when your story becomes a piece of art. And when your story becomes a piece of art, well, that is when you can truly feel the presence of God. Shabbat Shalom.